Now, is that how in relation is that to Maggie?
No. Just happened to have the same thing. Donna was a man. And Becky married her.
Oh, well, that's true.
Okay.
No, 2 minutes fast. So it's right. So when you see this time, we need to set this alarm on this clock. Beep, 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 beep. Huh? No. Good morning.
Ooh.
Been 2 weeks since I've been here. Forgot how loud this thing can be. Want to wish everyone a happy 4th. Sit and remember that we have a lot to be thankful for. Our independence, our freedom that we can come here on Sunday morning and worship. Thank our forefathers for everything that they did. Thank our troops that are still overseas, everywhere fighting for our rights. So if you have a moment during the day, just sit and thank God for all the blessings that we do have in our life. Because even though we think our life is bad, there are others who are worse off than we are. There's always someone. So just be thankful for the blessings that you have. First-time visitors. Do we have any first-time visitors? Yes, sir. Would you like to stand up and introduce yourself? Because I don't know you, so somebody's going to have to introduce you.
Harvey Nairo.
All right, we're glad to have you. Are there others? If not, we want to, again, welcome everyone and welcome you, Mr. Nairn, to our service this morning. Please be sure and fill out the attendance pads as Joyce is passing them out. Announcements today. There will be no youth of any kind today because it being the holiday, the 4th, so make a note of that. The young adult group, they're having their meeting this Tuesday at Red and Amy Bryan's house. Contact Elizabeth for more information. Our CPWM will be meeting this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock at Karen Miles' house. If you can attend, please call her at her house, RSVP, to let her know so she can determine how much food Vince is going to fix for us, is what I told her. In 2 weeks is our ice cream social. Steve, do you have anything else to say about that? Okay. Okay.
If people bring, we're going to have a little contest between Sunday school rooms and start to go. I'll be around to see all the Sunday school rooms.
Okay. Don't forget next Saturday here at the church, Nicole Bondanza's wedding. Please make plans to attend. It starts at 4 o'clock here at the church. So please make plans to attend that. Our committee meetings are next Sunday. Are there other announcements that need to be made from the congregation at this time? Russ? Well, you know, when she was walking yesterday, I thought she walked a little bit stiffer than she normally did. Well, let's stand and sing happy birthday to Linda. I don't know if that's safe to ask Russ. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. God bless you and keep you. Happy birthday to you. Russ, what I want to know is who do you want to give your eulogy at your funeral? Because that's what's coming next. I'll ask David later how old she is. See, she wants to know too. No. Happy birthday, Linda. Prayer request. Of course, we all want to be sure and lift up the Casey Tanner family and the Lancaster family for the terrible accident that happened this week. For those that don't know, it was a accident. What night was it?
Tuesday night.
Lost control of the car. Casey Tanner was killed instantly at the scene. She and Ryan had attended our youth meetings on Wednesday night. They were attending, I think, Sunday night also here at the church. Just a tragic accident. Ryan was hurt a little bit, but he's home. But we need to remember Casey Tanner's family. She was an only child. I mean, it's hard to lose a child anyway, but so we definitely need to keep both families in our prayers. Are there others that we would like to mention at this time? Susan? Is he the one that lives behind your mom or with your mom? Is he at Southern Hills? All right, we need to keep Billy in our prayers.
Donna Bonanza's mother, she has discovered a brain tumor. She had a heart act up last month, I guess, or 2 months ago.
And her name, is that Marie Leonard? Okay. Are there others?
Is Sally Bohannon, she's still in the hospital and doing so bad. She had a rough week with the chemo. Jim Bailey's mom, approaching 90, she had a heart attack. They brought her from Fayetteville to St. Thomas. That's Ruby family.
Okay.
That's an addition, but Sally's on our list. Sally is already in
Ruby family's already on there, too.
The what?
Ruby's on there, too.
Right, okay. And then Jillian.
Jillian Paisley. Yeah. Steve?
My mom was in the hospital 3 days this week to get a front fast attack.
And her name?
Allison.
Okay. Are there others? If there are not, please remember those that have been mentioned this morning. Those that are on our prayer list, continue to lift up our armed forces overseas and everywhere. And like I said, just give a silent thanks for the things that we do have here. Could you bow your heads for a moment of silence, please? Amen. We begin our worship service this morning with our call to worship. It is responsive. If you will turn in your bulletins. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a disgrace to any people. Happy is the nation whose God is the Lord. Happy the people God has chosen to be God's own. Let us worship God.
morning. If you turn in your hymnals to number 488, He Keeps Me Singing. Let's all stand, and we will do all five. Just get us going this morning.
As we pray, Lord, our Lord, we come this morning to offer thanks and praise to You. And Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank You for sending Jesus to be our Savior. Lord, we thank You that we can come together this day and reflect on Jesus. And remember the sacrifice that He has made for us. And we thank You, Father, for those who have preserved the truth of Your Word through the generations. And we thank You that we can come together to express that thanksgiving this day. Lord, we know that many people are traveling or will be traveling, and we just lift them up to You for Your watch care and Your safety. Lord, we have people away at church camp, and we ask Your blessings and direction on their lives. Father, we pray for each celebration today that it could be in the spirit of liberty and acknowledgement that You are our God, and that righteousness exalts a nation and a people. And Lord, just let Your Spirit flow. But especially that we pray for Your Spirit to be present and flowing in this service. Keep us singing. Keep us rejoicing. Keep us patriotic. keep us close to You and drawing from You and allowing You, O Lord, to live through us. So fill our lives and so shape our lives. In the name of Jesus we pray, praying even as He taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated.
You could turn in your hymnal to 571, My Country Tis of Thee. Let's do 1 and 4.
We express our faith in God this morning by our statement of faith, which is the Apostles' Creed. It's page 716 in your hymnal, and it is in unison. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. And it was in the
okay, if you kept your finger marking what you sang last, just go to the next page, 572. We're going to do America the Beautiful, and we will do 1 and 4 again.
Thank you.
attempt to do a special this morning. Been fighting a throat infection, so you all bear with me, but I was debating. I was telling Joyce, she asked me, she always sends me the songs and asked if we had special music. Told her this morning, I said, yeah, we are. I said, I decided 10 minutes ago, so that's how I make my decisions. But
thank you, Kim. We express our thanks to God this morning by the giving of our tithes and offerings. Our offertory sentence today comes from the book of Romans, chapter 14, verse 12. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Could I have our ushers come forward at this time?
Miss Kathleen Wagner woke up this morning not well, and so John told us that earlier, and then it slipped my mind when we were mentioning the for the prayer list. So add her to your prayer list. Lord God, we thank you that we can bring our needs to you and our hurts, our pain, our sicknesses. Lord, we thank you also that you give us joys and good times and great fellowship and times of rejoicing. Lord, we thank you for the many physical blessings that you have given us, the material things of life. And Father, we know that you have given us these to be used for your honor and for your glory. Lord, we know that they're only alone to us, that really everything belongs to you. And in that acknowledgement, we come this morning to make our gifts to you, returning that portion of that you have loaned to us, returning it for work in your kingdom. And Father, we pray that you would give so that direction to these times and these offerings. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
There are many kinds of liberty, or many kinds of freedom. One is our physical freedom to live in a country that we are free to do basically as we please, within limits, and that is a requirement. We understand that there be limits on our freedom. But the greatest freedom is our spiritual freedom, or from my vantage point, that's what I see. And Jesus has given us freedom from sin, not that sin will not attack us, but he has freed us from the penalty of our sin through his sacrificial death on the cross. And we remember that this morning. Our words of institution this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew. And the 26th chapter, beginning with verse 26 and 27 and 28. Jesus met with the disciples for the Passover meal. As they remembered their freedom, or gaining their freedom from Egypt. They had been slaves in Egypt. The Israelites had been there for 400 years. And under Moses' leadership, they were free. God sent Moses to lead his people, God's people, out of Egypt to the Promised Land. And when they crossed the Red Sea, they were free, and they were traveled on. It took them a while to get to the Promised Land, but they were free. We have no record of the Egyptians coming after them anymore. After that, they had to fight other people, to get to the land. But they were free from the Egyptian bondage, and as they met to remember this, actually they met to remember the night that the angel of death passed over the house of the Israelites that had blood. The blood of the Lamb spread over the door
or on the doorpost and on the lintel. And Jesus and the disciples met, and they remembered this experience, this occasion. And while they were eating, Jesus wanted to leave something by which they could remember Him and remember how He has freed us from sin. So He said, so we read, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank You for this table. And we thank You for the elements placed thereon. We thank You for the bread, O Lord. The bread that represents Jesus' body broken for us. Broken to pay for our sin. That represents His blood shed for us. Shed for the forgiveness of our sin. We thank You for this bread. And this cup, in Jesus' name, amen. For invitation to the table, this morning I invite all who are trusting in Jesus as their Lord and Savior to eat with us and to drink with us. If you're trusting Jesus to get you to heaven, to forgive your sin, you're welcome to eat and drink with us. I want to ask that Gary come and Bill come and Ed and Steve and give assistance here at the table. Again, Lord, we just ask Your blessings. Make this a time of serious remembrance. Amen. Please serve your neighbor. Ushers, will you serve the people? People, will you eat and drink, remembering the sacrifice made for you? Thank you.
Scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 10, verses 1 through 12, 16 through 20. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Do not take a purse or bag or sandals, and do not greet anyone on the road. When you enter a house, first say, 'Peace to this house.' If a man of peace is there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in that house, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. When you enter a town and are welcome, eat what is set before you. Heal the sick who are there and tell them, 'The kingdom of God is near you.' But when you enter a town and are not welcome, go into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that sticks to our feet, we wipe off against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God is near. I tell you, it will be more bearable on that day for Sodom than for that town. He who listens to you listens to me. He who rejects you rejects me. But he who rejects me rejects him who sent me.' The 72 returned with joy and said, 'Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name.' He replied, 'I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you. However, do not rejoice that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" The word of God for the people of God. Praise be to God.
Truth. And how to get the truth spread. That's what Jesus was trying to do, to spread the truth. Spread the message of what was coming. The kingdom was coming near. And Jesus chose to send people. People were chosen by Jesus to go out and tell the gospel truth. Gospel. Gospel truth. Gospel is another word for good news. So Jesus was sending out people to tell good news. Good news, truth. truth that was good news. Good news of the kingdom of God. They were also to go healing the sick and give the message that the kingdom of God has come near. Part of the message. There were many parts of the message. Part of the message was that those who heard could be a part of God's kingdom. They could enter into God's kingdom. They could experience the blessings as well as the difficulties of God's kingdom. To get this word out, Jesus chose 70. Or 72, and that's according to which version of the scriptures you're reading, whether it says 72 or 70. 70 is one of those kind of magic numbers, and we read where Moses chose 70 elders to help him in administering justice or settling disputes or disagreements or problems that came up as the children of Israel travel from Egypt to Israel. Got to where Moses was so busy just settling problems or disputes that he chose 70 at God's instruction, at the suggestion of his father-in-law. God instructed him through the father-in-law to choose these men to help. Jesus chose a like number, 70, or another version calls it 72, and sent them forth. Messengers. Where did these people come from? We thought he only had 12. Well, back last Sunday, we mentioned from Luke chapter 7, there was a large group that followed Jesus. There were the 12, and then a large group that followed Jesus, or travel with Jesus. So maybe from that large group, likely, very likely, from that large group, and they ended up being about 120 in the end of Jesus' time here on earth in the physical body. But maybe from that large group that we mentioned, that is mentioned in Luke 7 and that we mentioned last Sunday, 70 or 72 messengers were chosen and Jesus sent them forth. He wanted them to go and preach. He wanted them to go and witness. And he gave them special powers to heal. To heal physical illnesses, sicknesses. He empowered them with miracle-working abilities. They could go out and they could perform miracles. The 70. Now, what was the situation that he sent them out into? Jesus had recently set his face to go to Jerusalem. In 203, for our Lenten services on Wednesday evening leading up to Easter, you may remember that we started from that point in the 9th chapter of Luke, where Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem, where he would be crucified, where he would give his body and blood to pay for our sin, that we might experience forgiveness or remission. Well, we're only in the 10th chapter now of Luke. The 9th chapter, 951, I believe it is, where this verse says that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem and did not turn away, but there were many stops along the way. And in the 10th chapter, just after this happened, he called these people to prepare the way for him, in essence. He would go and offer himself as a sacrifice for the sins of all of mankind for all of time. He was going there to Jerusalem to provide this forgiveness that we have remembered through the sacrament this morning, the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. He was providing forgiveness for everybody who would take it. And he was giving forgiveness to all who would trust him as their Savior, or trust his death to be payment for their sin. And as Jesus traveled from Galilee to Jerusalem, he wanted to touch as many lives as he could. He didn't want to go in secret. He wanted to touch as many lives as he could. He knew that his time on earth in the physical body was short. So in order to touch as many lives as he could, as he traveled on the way to Jerusalem, realizing that one person could only do so much, and realizing that the 12 could only reach a limited number of people, and knowing that there were so many people to reach, he appointed 70 assistants, or helpers, or witnesses. He described the situation as the fields being white and ready to harvest. And I always thought they grew cotton. They had to grow cotton in Israel or in Canaan. I don't know if they did or not. We hear about Egyptian cotton, but I don't know about Israel. Never have heard much about it, but I grew up in cotton country. And starting about mid-August, but when it gets over to mid-September, if it's not harvested then, oh, you can drive through the countryside and you can see fields really white unto harvest. So this passage meant so much to me and others who were raised in the cotton country. We thought he was speaking directly to us. Fields being white unto harvest. White and ready to harvest. And you certainly do not harvest cotton until it gets white. Now some harvesters will pull green bolls to put in their sack. This is in the old days when cotton was hand-picked. They would pull the green bolls and put in their sack where their cotton would weigh more because they were paid for picking it by the pound, how much it weighed. I've seen those fields white unto harvest and ready to harvest many times. And whatever crop Jesus was referring to when he said this, it spoke to me as a boy growing up. But what he was really saying is that there are so many people. There are so many people that need to be reached. There are so many people that still are outside the kingdom of God. And he wanted to reach them, and he says, we need more workers in the kingdom of God. We need servants, if you will. We need witnesses, if you will. We need preachers, if you will. Anybody, if you will, who will go and tell the story that the kingdom of God is near. Before the advent, if I may digress, I guess, before the advent of the mechanical cotton pickers, when the cotton was ready to pick, it was an impossible job for the large farmer, at least, or the farmer who farmed a large number of acres, to pick the cotton by himself. Now, at one time, it was the custom to raise enough children to pick all the cotton. And why did cotton farmers have so many children? It wasn't because they were Roman Catholics. It was because they wanted to raise enough hands, farm hands, to pick cotton and to pull corn and to do whatever else needed to be done on the farm. And that was the case. And the children, the little children even, 5 and 6 years old, would work in the cotton field. It was their job to pick and chop, and I did a limited amount of it, but I picked enough and chopped enough cotton that it was terrible. I still like to look at the cotton field, but to drive on by rather rapidly. But when there wasn't enough help in the family to pick the cotton, what did you do? You had to go and hire extra help. Now, people talk about in the old days that one farmer would come over and help another farmer, and they still do that in the hay baling time around here. And I understand that was the custom in the wheat threshing or combining country, and even when that took place around here. But when I was growing up, it was customary to go into town and find people who were not normally employed, but they would come out and they would help pick cotton. And you'd pick them up and put them in the back of a pickup or a big truck, we called it, and haul them out to the farm, and they would spend the day out there to pick cotton. There was so much work to do that the family could not do it all unless they had a real big family. And then those teenage boys would eat so much, you didn't make any money. It was a losing proposition, was it not? And then the problem was that they had to harvest the cotton before the winter set in. Because if the winter set in and it started raining, if it didn't ruin the cotton, it would at least lower the grade. And the better the grade of the cotton, the higher price it would make. In about 3 good rains, it would either mildew, or it would, if it come a hard rain, it would knock the cotton out of the bowls and it would be on the ground where that was full of sand and grit. So it was important to get the cotton picked early as possible. And then some people try to get that first bale of the year in the state. And then others try to get the first bale of the year in the county. And there was some special benefit from that, kind of like the first newborn babe in the new year. You know that story. We still live with that. But they had to harvest the cotton before the winter rain came, or the product would be destroyed. There was an urgency. And there was an urgency, Jesus indicated, in getting the people into the kingdom of God. If they stayed out too long, they would die outside the kingdom. So there was an urgency to get them in, at least before death. Hopefully a long time before that, where they could come in and work. If we wait too long, it'll be too late. Is that not the same situation we're in today? If we wait too long, it'll be too late. We never know when our last breath will be taken. The fields are white unto harvest, are they not? Are they not? The fields are white unto harvest for a great harvest of souls. And Jesus says, concerning this, first he says, pray. Pray for workers. Pray for workers. I think it's the New American Standard Version that I had in my hand when I was preparing the notes on this sermon. And it reads, beseech the Lord of the harvest. Beseech the Lord of the harvest. Beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Or send out workers. So beseech, we ask, we plead with, we pray to. And I wondered this morning, and I wondered when I was preparing these notes, would it be out of order? I didn't think it was. I'm going to ask you to do it anyway, even if it is. Would it be out of order, though, to pause right now, right here, and pray? Let's do it, in order or out of order. Let's pray for workers to the harvest. Lord, send workers to the harvest. Now be careful, it may be you that's sent. Can you say, Lord, if it's me that you want to go, I'll go. If you make it real plain, Lord, let's pray. Lord, send workers out of this group. Stir hearts.
Send workers, Lord.
Amen. It's not necessarily for preachers to go tell the message. The 12 represented the preachers. Jesus said that wasn't enough. Need other people. Need more people. Someone has said that the 70 were lay people. The 12 had been sent out in chapter 9, verse 1 through 11. They had a similar experience. Also find in Mark chapter 6 and Matthew chapter 10, the 12 being sent out. Only Luke tells about the 70 being sent out. Now think about this. Before you say, no, I won't go, how many people do you know who are not a part of God's kingdom? And let's keep on praying that God will send somebody to them to lead them into God's kingdom, that God will send some laborers to gather them in. And again, beware, it may be you that He's sending. Get ready. You say you can't do it? Well, if God sends you, He will equip you. If God sends you, He will equip you. See verse 19 and then chapter 9, verse 1. He gave them special abilities, miracle-working abilities. Friends, there are some problems when we go. It's not necessarily easy. In fact, Jesus warns that their going out will be like lambs going before wolves. There's always danger. In our day, in our world, the danger is not so much physical danger, though it could happen. But in many nations, there is still that physical danger. We hear from the Leonards, it's not as easy to get in Russia and witness as it is in our country. But go to China, they have to go under a pretense of, one girl was telling about being there for about 8 years as a student. And I wonder if the government can't figure out that she's a slow student if she's staying that long. One of our missionaries in Beijing. And then others are in the Muslim countries. And we just recently, a couple of years ago, heard about the girls who were captured in Afghanistan and were so blessed not to lose their lives. And then we may face a little rejection, but that is not our problem. It's the problem of the ones who reject. We are to go and we are to tell. Distractions, how do we deal with distractions? There is so much to call us away from the task that Jesus sends us to do. But as you notice the instruction, He says, don't turn aside. Don't get sidetracked. Go and do the message. Oh, that's been one of my problems, getting sidetracked from being the faithful minister. Now, what's the main message? The main message is to heal and to preach the kingdom of God. Or the main message is to help people get saved. To tell people about Jesus, that He is the Savior. And then show people Jesus by your life and your words. Show people Jesus by our life and our words. The 70, they were getting people ready for Jesus' first visit. But we are called to get people ready for Jesus' second coming, when He will call us to heaven, if we are ready. Very quickly, the disciples came back. These 70. They came back and they were rejoicing. We went out, Lord Jesus, and we had such a beautiful time. And could you believe it? Demons just left. We were successful, Jesus. And they were so happy and elated and joyous over their experience. I'm sure they didn't think they could go to start with. And Jesus says it's okay to be happy over this, but the most important thing to be happy over is to be happy that your name is registered in heaven or recorded in heaven. That you are saved yourself. So this morning we would come to this. There's a call. There's a call to go and witness. To get ready, people ready for the kingdom. There's a call to bring healing where we have that ability. And that's so important. But the most important thing is to be sure that we ourselves are in the kingdom. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus to forgive us our sin, to pay for our sin, that we might be forgiven, and to forgive us of these sins, and that we can be a part of your kingdom. Now, Lord, right now, if there is one that's not in your kingdom, we pray that you would speak to that person this day, these moments, in Jesus' name. Amen. The truth, getting the truth out. The truth is marching on. 569, the battle hymn of the Republic. Do we need to open ourselves up to God's urging to send us to share the truth of the kingdom? 569, stand together and sing the first stanza. Help us to be faithful in keeping the truth going out in the community and around the world, preparing for your coming to receive us into your heavenly kingdom. And we pray through Jesus' holy name. Amen.
and you don't really hear the word. Now that's no big deal. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'll say I can do it.
Thank you.